going to be spending most of our time this afternoon in the 11th chapter of John. Appreciate all who are here. We do have visitors, and we're delighted that you are with us. Encourage you to join together as we study. Things occur in life that we're not really expecting. We're not prepared for in many ways. Sudden death. Not that death is unexpected. We all realize that we're going to die. But those of us who were here Wednesday night, and Brother Carey was leading our Bible class here in the auditorium, I'm sure none of us really thought about coming to services this morning and he not being with us. And as been stated, it certainly, it's sad. Our hearts are heavy. And I've thought about what could I say that might help us, might encourage us during a time like this. And so I've chosen to look at John chapter 11, where we see Lazarus, who was a friend of our Lord, when he died. And there are some lessons, I think, that we learn in this chapter that are helpful to us, obviously, because it's God's Word, can be comforting for us and instructing to us as well. Before I begin here in John chapter 11, I do want to read from the 116th Psalm, verse 15, where the psalmist says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." What has occurred, though it is sad, almost in some ways hard to process right now, it's precious in the eyes of the Lord. When someone who is a Christian passes from this life, the Bible says that is precious. And when you consider what the Bible has to say about things that are precious, there's just really not that many things the Bible describes as being precious. In 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter probably describes more in those two books as to what is precious than you read anywhere else in the Bible. He talks about our like precious faith. He talks about the blood of Christ, how precious that is. But the death of a saint is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And so as we look at John chapter 11, I want to make just a few observations, a few points with us that I hope will help us as we deal with today and, if the Lord allows, tomorrow and whatever life we may have remaining as we see those of us whom we love very dearly pass from this life, some because of illness, maybe for a period of time, but some in a very sudden way. The first thing that I want us to observe when we consider what we are told here in John chapter 11 is the fact that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. In verse 3 of John chapter 11, Mary says, therefore, the Bible just says in verse 3, "Therefore his sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." So there was an understanding that the Lord loved Lazarus. When you go on down to verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." You know, I think when we start there and we have that understanding, that helps us in so many ways. Jesus, the Bible says, loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. Jesus loves us. We teach our children from a very early age the song that Jesus loves us, this I know. We read from John chapter 3, verse 16, God's love demonstrated in sending His Son, giving His life. Christ demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. As We were around the bed of Brother LD last night after his surgery. I was thinking, I surely am thankful that Jesus loves us. And because of that, there are so many things that result. Let me just leave that there. Let's go to a second thing that I want us to consider. And I don't think this is anything earth-shattering, but what we realize as we read this story is the fact that Jesus knew the circumstances. He wasn't physically there. He doesn't need to physically be somewhere to know. But He knew what was taking place. Look at verse 11. These things He said, and after that He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps." He's talking to His disciples. "But I go that I may wake him out of sleep." Then His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Whatever our circumstance is here on this earth, whatever situation we find ourselves in, one thing we can rest assured of is that Jesus knows what's going on with us. And not that He just simply knows, but He cares. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your cares before He cares for you." And so as the family was going through what they were going through, and it was just all just suddenly things just seemed to crash. Jesus knew. He was aware. And what a comfort that is to us. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He sees everything. He is aware of everything. And whenever we go through heartache, stressful situations in life, what we know is that Jesus, He knows. I think of what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10, not a sparrow falls, but He's not aware. The very hairs of our head are numbered. The Lord was aware of what was going on, not just in Huntsville, Alabama last night, but He was aware of what was going on everywhere. But how comforting that is to know. A third thing that I want us to notice here in this chapter, verse 15, as Jesus is talking to His disciples and He's just said to them, "Lazarus is dead," He says, I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to Him." Now I want to back up. Well, I'm trying to figure out where to back up to. Verse 4. After Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He says, "This sickness is not to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Verse 15 again, He says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe." When we face trials, struggles, things that we may not be able to understand totally at that moment, maybe we'll never understand exactly, what it does is it gives an opportunity for our faith to increase. Jesus was going to go, and we're going to read in just a minute, and we see how He's able to help His disciples increase their faith. We will also see as we continue reading, as Jesus declares who He is, and as Lazarus is raised from the dead, we too, when someone dies, we have the opportunity for our faith to increase. Because here's what we know. When a person dies, that's not the end. Now, it's the end of someone's sojourn here on this earth, but that's not the end. The spirit, the soul leaves the body. The spirit returns to God. The soul will be, or the body will be placed in the grave where it will return to dust. But man lives. Man's soul is eternal in nature. And as we see Jesus raising in a minute Lazarus from the dead, and later we see Jesus as He is raised from the dead, what that tells us is that one day we too will be raised from the dead. And those whom we love who pass from this life and we bury their bodies, the time will come when all who are in the grave will be raised. And so in one way, here is an opportunity for us to have our faith increased. Jesus gave His disciples an opportunity to see Him as the resurrection and as the life. I want to begin reading in verse 17. Jesus arrives to where Lazarus is. Now verse 17 says, "Then when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever You ask of God, God will give You.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to Him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And then she answers Jesus, 'Yes, I do.'" Jesus here declares Himself to be the resurrection and the life. And He says to Martha, "Whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." And obviously what He's talking about, He's not talking about physically dying, but a person who believes, a person who lives and believes in Jesus, he will never die spiritually. And so, from the standpoint of our spirits, we can live in a way that we never have to face death spiritually. You know, the flip side of that is this, and it ought to be very sobering to each of us as we consider this. If we don't believe and live in Jesus, then we will not live forever. We will be cast into a hell that is just as eternal, just as everlasting as life is. But here Jesus says to Mary, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. And whoever believes in Me will never die." Aren't you thankful for a statement like that? We bury our loved ones. But if they have served God faithfully, if they have sought and received the forgiveness of sins, by the grace of God and through the demonstration of our faith in doing what God says, we know a person will be saved. I'm not saying that, and I hope I said that. I'm not saying that in a questioning way. We know. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. But whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Are we living in a way so that we will never die spiritually? The Lord has made that possible for us. As you continue to look at the story, you see very vividly the compassion of Jesus. Let me just continue reading with verse 27 till we get down to verse 33. She said to him, that is, Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? I hope when we think of our Lord, we think of him as he truly is. The Bible describes him as showing compassion. We see that in many instances. And on this occasion, the Bible tells us that he wept. It says there in verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, and also others weeping, he groaned in the spirit. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. And then in verse 38 it says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Jesus is touched by what happens in life. We see that here in Lazarus. He cares. He's compassionate. He loves, as we've already demonstrated. And when we shed tears, he very well may shed tears also. He did in this instance. Well, when you come to, I'm going to call it the culmination of the events taking place here. Beginning in verse 39, we're told in verse 38, that they came to a tomb, they came to the tomb. It was a cave, a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. The power of Jesus. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And once the stone is moved away, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. I thought about that. You know, Jesus didn't just say, come forth. Had he said that, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened was, Lazarus came forth. That's the power of our Lord. And when we realize His love and concern and care and compassion and the fact that He's moved by what takes place in on this occasion, the sadness of the death of Lazarus, and He's able with three words to say, Lazarus come forth and Lazarus comes forth. But you know, that's not unlike as you start in the book of Genesis. When we look at how the world came into existence, God spoke. The words of our Lord are powerful. Every word that He speaks is powerful. And we need to appreciate the power of Jesus as we look here. I want you to open your songbooks to number 577, please. 577. I called out that 557 is what it should be. 557. 557. Alan, would you blow a B flat? I thought I had something here I could use. Thank you. I want us to look at the words of this song, which reflect what we have been talking about. When Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb, and none believed He had the power. And I don't know, maybe that's taking, but that's we'll sing the words of the song. Despite their grief and their disbelief, He commanded, take away the stone. When Jesus lay in Joseph's tomb, and none believed He had the power, true love spoke forth in a father's voice, and the angel took away the stone. When I shall lie within my tomb, and none believe He has the power, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout to take away the stone. No, so when Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb, and none believed He had the power, despite their grief and their disbelief, He commanded, take away the stone. When Jesus lay in Joseph's tomb, and none believed He had the power, True love spoke forth in a Father's voice, and the angel took away the stone. When I shall lie within my tomb, and none believe he has the power, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout to take away the stone. What I say to that is amen. What a wonderful, wonderful realization to know that the time will come when the Lord will raise those who have fallen asleep. I want to end by reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, where Paul is addressing a misconception that the Christians at Thessalonica had concerning those who had died, that somehow they were going to miss out on the Lord's coming. He says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died, "that you not sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." We sorrow. And certainly we have reason to sorrow. But we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We serve a God who is faithful, who is true to His promises. And though we will not be the ones judging, and I am so thankful for that, we know that if a person serves God faithfully, trusts in His Word, seeks and receives forgiveness of his sins, that through the grace of God, that person and we can be with God forever. I want to read the end of John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where the Bible says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." I trust that at least those that I know who are present tonight, you believe in the Son of God. And what that simply means is that we are committed, we're faithful, we're obedient to the Lord and what He teaches. And as we fulfill our responsibility in being faithful and trusting and being obedient to God, He will allow us to be with Him forever. And how comforting that is. We're going to sing the song that has been suggested. It may be that someone is present tonight and you need in a public way to render obedience to the Lord. You know, if we're children of God and we have sin in our lives, we can remove that by repenting. And my question really is, why would we ever knowingly have sin in our life and not do what God instructs us to do, to rid us, to be forgiven of that sin? There is no reason why anyone who is a child of God should leave here tonight without knowing that you are right with God, if you're not a child of God, tonight would be the night, the best time for you to be obedient to the Lord's commands. Let's stand and sing to encourage one another.